إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you in our class and we continue reading about this very important topic and subject matter, which is the education of the children and the youth in Islam. And we mentioned before that this is a very important topic, since the little ones, they're not going to stay little. Those who are 7, in 10 years, they become 17. And those who are 17, they become 27. And likewise. And the more they grow, the more responsibilities grow with them. Islam cares about the society and the community. Islam, in its legislations and rulings and regulations, brings joy, happiness, peace, stability, progress to communities and societies. But somebody may say, what about the chaos and all the problems we hear these days? Because of the people themselves. People are cheating each other, deceiving one another, stealing from one another, fighting one another, the strong ones are harming and oppressing the weak, and the like. That's why you find all of these despicable characteristics are forbidden in Islam. It is forbidden to cheat others in Islam. It's forbidden to deceive others. It's forbidden to oppress others, or to harm them, or to cause them any harm. Rather, Islam teaches us the good manners, to be kind, gentle, merciful, to be nice, to be helpful. The rich amongst us help and take care of the poor. Those who are strong, they make themselves available to help and aid those who are weak. Islam teaches us to forgive, to tolerate, to pardon, to accept the excuses when they are presented. So that's why this topic is very important, because we teach our children and our youth these values of Islam, giving our youth and our children the proper Islamic education so they can be a better person when they grow up. We prepare them. Islam prepare an old man, because that man, you're looking at me, for instance, I was 7 long time ago. I was 10 long time ago. I was 15 too. No one is born 46 years old, or 50, or 60. All of us that grown up now, we were babies on diapers and then on pull-ups. And then we have to learn how to do things, how to eat, how to use the bathroom, how to walk, how to talk. But we need to learn how to act as well, as responsible. So that's why the importance of this topic. Because a grown-up man, he ain't going to be a nice guy just like that if nobody taught him how to act right. It all starts in the beginning. It starts in the first stages. And this is the best stage and the most important one of childhood. Islam gives stability to the children, But the parents, as we mentioned, they have to play their role. The parents, they have a great responsibility upon their shoulders. So we were, now this is part number 5 so far in this topic. We were mentioning what a parent should teach their children. We mentioned previously that they should teach them about the Creator, about the one who created them, the one who fashioned them in the best form, the one who provided them with intellect, give them eyes, not only eyes, but with sight that they can see, give them ears and also that they can hear, give them a tongue that they can use and speak and express themselves, the one who keep them healthy and strong, the Creator who has created for them endless bounties, priceless ones, and we cannot live without, such as the fresh air we breathe, the fresh water we drink, variety of food we enjoy, things that we cannot do without as a human being. We teach our children about the one who bestow upon us all of these favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all that which between, the one who created us and fashioned us in a best form and provide us with endless bounties. Likewise, we teach our children to appreciate these favors and to thank the giver and the sole donor of all of these bounties, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah the Almighty. A lot of people don't thank God, doesn't thank the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They breathe His air and they cannot live without it. They drink the fresh air He creates and sent down and they cannot live without. He the one who fashioned them and created them and give them life and intellect and sound mind, and they don't give thanks to Him. That's bad etiquette. Can you imagine someone give you a ride, take you to school, bring you back, take you to the practice, bring you back. He wait for you until you finish. And once you get in the car, He already have a smoothie for you or juice. In a hot day, has only some Frosties for you. And you don't even say thanks. Rather, you say bad things about that person. That's no one in his right mind will do that. We as a human, we thank those who help us. We thank those who help us. We don't say bad things about those who help us. No, we don't do that. Aynam, ya ibadallah. So what about the one, if you thank someone who give you a ride, and you thank someone who give you juice or a bottle of water, what about thanking the one who give you life? What about thanking the one who give you intellect, sound mind? That's what Islam teaches. And that's what we, as the parents, we should teach our children. Likewise, we mentioned that we teach them the prayer. We tell them when they reach the age of 7, until 7, these are children. These are little guys. They want to play. They want to run. They want to be rowdy. Yes, we teach them some manners. But when they reach the age of 7, we tell them, son, you got to pray. Daughter, you got to pray. Because of the importance of the prayer. هذا الأمر يا إخوان لا بد من العناية به أمر الأولاد بالصلاة إذا بلغ الإبن 7 سنوات نأمره بالصلاة يقول الشيخ الدكتور عبد الرزاق البدر حفظه الله. He said this is a very important matter. Teaching our children to pray and commanding them to pray and making sure that they pray. When the boy or the girl, they reach the age of 7, you teach them to pray. And you tell them, go pray, son. Go pray, daughter, with a smile on your face, in a nice way. You don't yell at them. No, none of that. No spankings, no yelling, none of that. in a nice way, son, with a cheerful face, with a smile on your face. Pray. صلي يا فلان عليك بالصلاة الصلاة فريضة الصلاة واجب ترك الصلاة كفر. نعلم هذه الأشياء ونلقن هذه الأمور بسبع سنوات. We teach them. We don't just tell them pray, but we tell them the importance of the prayer. It is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. Pray because it's an obligation. Who made it an obligation on you? The one who created you, the one who fashioned you, the one who nurtured you and provide for you. It's not somebody else. The one who gave you all these beautiful things you enjoy. The vision, the sight, the hearing. He gave you the ability to move, other people cannot move. You go to sleep, other people cannot go to sleep. They have a lot of money, but they can't go to sleep. People, they have a lot of money, but they cannot drink water, cannot drink juice, they cannot eat grapes or chicken or sandwiches. They're on diet because they can't, even though they have a lot of money. But you broke. Maybe you don't have a dime in your pocket, but alhamdulillah, you can go to sleep, you can run, you can jump, you can move, you can, subhanAllah, go to sleep, wake up, you thank Allah. Say yes. You pray, son. It is an obligation. Not praying. This is not from the etiquette of the good Muslims. So not to pray. ولكن إذا كان هذا الولد الذي بلغ 10 سنوات الآن كسولا ويميل إلى اللعب ولا يصلي ويترك الصلاة. قال إذا ترك الصلاة نضربه بحيث ينتبه ويعرف أن الأمر خطير وليس بالسهل. نضربه ضرب تأديب لا ضرب إهلاك. نؤدبه حتى يتقوم ويتجه إلى المسجد ونتابعه. فهذا أدب ثاني. واضربوهم عليها لعشر إذا بلغ 10 سنوات. Now the Sheikh says, this scholar says, but if your son, that child who reached the age of 10, remember, for 3 years, you just tell them, go pray. They pray is good. They don't pray, still don't tell them anything. But just in these 3 years, just tell them the importance of the prayer. The prayer is good, son. It's better for us. It raises levels with the Creator. Allah loves those who pray. And when you pray, you come to the masjid and you meet beautiful people. They sit, they relax, they happy. They meet you with the greeting of peace. They smile in your face. They don't ask you for anything else. They may not even know your name. But as long as you come to this place, the masjid, to perform the prayer, son, everybody going to be nice at you. They're going to smile at you. They don't even know your name. Because that's what the prayer do to the people. The prayer raises the level of iman, of faith. With those who pray, they are nice, kind, gentle, soft. You ask them something, they like, okay, let me see what I can do. If they have it, they give it to you. If they don't have it, they give you what they have, and they says, look, in the next prayer, inshallah, I'm going to see if I can help you more. But this doesn't happen in a court. This etiquette doesn't happen in the street. You stop somebody running, or somebody in a car, I want to say something to you. If they stop, but usually nobody stops for nobody these days. But if you manage to get somebody to stop, and as soon as they say, can you help me? He said, that's what you stopped me for? No, SubhanAllah. You stopped me for this? Now it's a red light now. I missed the green light for you? No. But here in the masjid, people, they are nice. Even if they don't have it, they're like, you know what, man, I don't have it, but I make dua for you. I ask Allah to protect you and to help you and to provide for you. They may even go and ask somebody else, Akhi, do you have $10? Because brother, he needs something for his children, whatever. All of this because of the prayer. People, they come and pray. Those who pray together, they stay together. They help each other. They love one another. Because you pray next to people for years, for months, for days. You see them, and five times a day. This is what brings love and brings brotherhood. The real meaning of brotherhood. This salat, if you pay attention to it. And it is legislated. One of the beautiful purpose behind the legislation and wisdom is this, to strengthen our relationship. Because when I see this beautiful brother here every day for the salat, salamu alaykum, ayyakallah, especially if we pray next to each other maybe once or twice a day, subhanallah, he's next to me, you feel the heat. You're rubbing shoulder to shoulder. When he says salamu alaykum, he's next to you. He says salamu alaykum, he sees you. And then you meet him when you take your shoes off, when you put your shoes on, you meet each other in here. It's a beautiful thing. And then if you sit in the class, now you're spending another 45 minutes to an hour or more or less next to that same person. He's not your brother. You're not biological brother, but he's your brother in Islam, the real brotherhood of Islam. And you learn to respect him. You may not even know his last name. You may not even know where he lives. You may never been in his house. But you respect him. And you have a feeling of love in your heart for him because of the prayer. If it's not for the prayer, where are we going to meet? If I ask you a question, all of you, before, except this brother right here, which is my son, by the way. Any one of you here, have you met me personally? Where have you met me before the masjid? Have you met me somewhere, any place before the masjid? Huh? You? Where? Say only if it's a good thing.
Huh? We don't go back to the bad place. 2001, I met you at Detroit.
Detroit, for what?
It's for Mu'tamar.
Mu'tamar, conference about what?
Conference.
About Islam. Alhamdulillah. See? Oh, that's a good thing. Naam. And you ask everybody here, if it's not your brother, your father, your uncle, your cousin, and ask, where you met? Usually you meet all these beautiful people that they smile your face, and they're willing to help you. You want to move, you find a couple people right there. I'm coming. You're sick, many of them come and visit you in the hospital or at house. You go through some hardship, many of them come to you. And every day, beautiful faces, smile. Look at now, people smiling, alhamdulillah. I see a lot of smiley faces. Why? Islam. And this salat, because we spend a lot of time together. It has it not been for this prayer, when are we going to meet five times a day? Where? Where? Tell me, is there any other activities that gather people five times a day? Tell me. Nothing. I don't know anything that gather people five times a day. You going to tell me basketball? No. People, they meet one, they play for 2 hours or maybe, and they leave. And they may not see each other until 3, 4, 5 days later, right or wrong. Huh? This is the one. Salat. You meet, we meet, we see each other five times a day. Weekly, 7 times 5, what's that? 35. Huh? And 35 times 52, what's that? Okay, do the math. 5,465? Abdullah said that. And there you go, he calculated that. Alhamdulillah, good. Hey now, subhanAllah, we meet and we see each other. All of this, that brings love, bring respect. That's why we respect each other and we love one another and we smile because we see each other. Sometimes you see people in the street, you never seen them, you pass by them. But when you see somebody, all of a sudden, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? You smile, hug, why? Because you know them for years. We teach our children that's why, son, I want you to pray. Because the prayer will help you to be a better person. Will help you to be around the right people too. Okay? But unfortunately, not all the children, they listen. Some of them, at 10 years, even after 3 years of telling them, pray, pray nicely, kindly, for 3 years, from 7 to 10, still some of them, they have another plan that they don't share with you, of course. They don't share with the parents. And they don't pray. Now, at that moment, you have to discipline them. No more just pray, son. Now you got to sit down with them, tell them, you got to pray. Because the prayer is good for you, son. The prayer is good for your daughter. The prayer keeps you on the path that leads to paradise. It saves you from the path of destruction, the path of evil. And we explain to them, I'm disciplining you, not because you broke a glass or because you ripped your sneakers or you dirty your clothes. No, 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 because of the prayer. Prayer is very important. Yes, this is very important. You're going to have to understand that this is a very serious matter, son. The prayer is very important. And if we continue to do this, children, they get together. They will learn the lesson. Remember in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says, teach your children the prayer when they reach the age of 7, and discipline them if they don't pray when they reach the age of 10, and separate between them in the bed. قَالَ وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. This is another etiquette that we parents, we have to observe and apply. Come up here, inshallah. Athman, those three over there in the back, not those, just the one in here. The one next to you too. Yalla, akhi, come on. جزاك الله خير عثمان. Keep closer so you can get benefit, inshallah. بارك الله فيك. جزاك الله خير. You're my neighbor, man, you know? I gotta keep an eye on you. Neighbors, you have a right. Alright? You don't mind, right? جزاك الله. That's my neighbor, alhamdulillah. Be nice to my neighbor, guys. So, now another etiquette is إذا بلغ 10 سنوات وقارب سن الاحتلام تنتبه لهذه المسألة تفرق بينهم في المضاجع لا تجعلهم ينامون في فراش واحد أو متقاربين لأن هذا يجر إلى ما وراءه والعياذ بالله. Now when the children they reach the age of 10, you gotta separate between them in the bed. Because now at 10, they're getting close to that age of puberty. If not, some of them already, some they are early when it comes to that. So you don't allow your children to sleep together on one mattress, on one bed, under one cover. But rather, yes, when they were little, 6, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, now they can do that. But 10 and up, everybody has to have his own place to sleep. Okay? They don't cover with one sheet or one blanket. No, everyone has his own separate blanket. To teach them this etiquette, they don't sleep next to each other anymore under one cover. No. Because otherwise this leads to a lot of evil, alhamdulillah. When the children, they, especially boys and girls, يعودون على مثل هذه الآداب وعلى هذه القيم يعود من صغره على البعد عن الفاحشة والوقوع في الرذيلة. From early age, children, they are taught the good manners and to stay away from anything that may lead them to fall into evil. نعم. لا ينامون في فراش واحد ولا في لحاف واحد وإنما يفرق بينهم لأن نومهم في فراش واحد وتحت لحاف واحد قد يجر إلى مصائب عظيمة وأخطار جسيمة لا تحمل عقباها مثل الزنا أو اللواط والعياذ بالله أو غيرها من الأمور الخطيرة التي تنتشر في بعض المجتمعات. So when the children they reach the age of 10, you separate between them in the bed. You don't just say to a boy at 10 and a girl 11, sleep there right there, but okay, share the blanket, share the bed. No, they can't do that. Can't do that. Because that's an evil. It leads to a lot of evil. It leads to a lot of evil. When they reach that age, you separate between them. They do not sleep in the same bed. They do not cover with the same blanket. And we remind you that there is no drinks and food in the masjid. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu fiik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remind them, for verily the reminder benefit the believers. Alhamdulillah. That's what we do. We remind one another because we're Muslims. Jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah, people, they listen to the reminder. That's good for them. Naam. Those people who do not apply these advices and these guidelines of Islam, and they don't care about their children, they live 14 years old, girls sleep with the 15 or 16 year old boy, even they are brothers or they cousins, step children, and before you know it, a lot of evil happen. You gotta apply these etiquettes of Islam. Don't say, oh, they just 11, 12. Now you got to apply, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, separate between them in the beds. This way they grow up upon fadila, upon good manners and good behavior. And you keep them away from falling or subject themselves to evils, temptations and the like. And we heard in the societies where they don't practice Islam, or in the Muslim families who do not know what Islam is, they just Muslim by affiliations. Ah, because there are people who they Muslims because they were born in a Muslim country, that's it. Do they know Islam? No, they don't. Do they apply it? How would they apply something they don't know? They need to learn. Yes, there are people, they Muslims, they were born in a Muslim country, to a Muslim family, but they didn't benefit from Islam. That's why you see the way they talk, the way they behave, the way they deal with others. You will be like, subhanAllah, are you a Muslim? For real? How you do things like this? In Islam, all what you're talking about, the way you talk, the way you address this person, the way you deal with this person as related to his property. You're making a big deal of something. This is not good in Islam. Don't you know, you've been a Muslim, you shouldn't do these things. Because all of these things is not permissible in Islam. But a lot of people don't know. They just have a name. Abdullah, Ibrahim, Khadija, Aisha. But what is the practice? They need to learn. Now, this evil the Sheikh is talking about happens to some Muslims who do not apply the etiquettes of Islam. They do not apply it in their lives. They do not apply Islam in their homes. Some Muslims think that Islam only in the masjid. So much so that you see some Muslims, men and women, even the dress, the way they dress, when they come to the masjid, then they put some on. So much so in some masjid I went to, I find, because I travel, and I see some masjid, you go pray sometimes, you're somewhere and you stop, especially with the technology right now. You're traveling and you're in this state and you're like, hey, and you Google it. And you see if there is any masjid, they give you a name of a masjid. Sometimes we go to that place, yes, it's a masjid, name masjid, kada kada. You go over there and you see on a wall, they hang in thobes and izars. You say, what is this for? No, that's for us. When we come here, we wear these things. And I was a little bit curious. I said, is it the same thing for the women? They're like, oh yeah. I said, is any woman there? They said, no. I said, can I see? They took me to, we moved the curtain. There was like khimars hanged on the wall. I said, what is this? They said, no, when women come here, they put this on. I said, what happened when they pray? What they do? They take it off and they learn. People think that's practicing Islam only in a masjid. No, you practice Islam in a masjid, at home, at school, at work, while you're driving. You practice Islam even while you're driving, while you're eating, while you're using the bathroom. There is etiquettes. There is etiquettes of sleeping, of waking up, of putting on your clothes, taking off your clothes. Etiquettes of sleeping, etiquettes of eating, etiquettes of drinking, etiquettes of walking, etiquettes of sitting, etiquettes with your parents, etiquettes with your neighbors, etiquettes with your siblings, etiquettes with your elders, etiquettes with Muslims, etiquettes with non-Muslims. Subhanallah. Naam. So we teach our children these good manners of Islam so that they can protect themselves from falling into evil. Naam. Such as for fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, wal'iyadu billah. That's what certain children, they are exposed to this from early age. Naam, nothing happened just like that all of a sudden. إِنَّمَا السَّيْلُ اجْتِمَاعُ النُّقَدْ. The flood that you see and this, oh, it's a flood. Where did the flood happen? It starts by dripping. But the rain being consistent, drops, little drops here and drop here, but it was consistent, that's why we have a flood. Likewise, children are exposed to evil. If it's consistent and the parents are not paying attention to it, that's where it becomes a big thing, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. A great evil happened. That's why Islam teach us these good manners of these good manners. وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ ذَلِكَ إِهْمَالَ التَّرْبِيَةِ. Why many children, when they become teenagers, many of them, they are corrupt, they deviant, you can't talk to them. Why? Why we see some of our youth not practicing Islam correctly? It's amazing you see some Muslim dragging their pants. Why not? Saggy pants. Muslims. Not covering their awras properly. Who they imitate in this one? You want to imitate someone who don't know? Or you want to imitate someone who know what's right from what's wrong? But the parents, they have a great responsibility in this one, because they are the ones that neglect the education of their children. You gotta teach them the etiquettes of talking, of walking, of dressing, eating, everything. And we don't have to be creative. We have everything in Islam. We have the best guidance, the guidance of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنْ طَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. This ayah here, subhanAllah, has beautiful etiquettes that we parents should teach our children, and so that we all apply these etiquettes in our homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, of course this is a translation of what Allah says, because what Allah says is in Arabic language, and this is the meaning in English. O you who believe, let your slaves and slave girls, for those who are slaves, these not these days in these areas, and those among you who have not come to the age of puberty, let them ask your permission before they come to your presence on three occasions. Now, you teach your children, we teach our children to ask permission before entering upon us, especially in our rooms, these days the bedroom, they call it the bedroom. On three occasions, before Fajr, before the morning prayer, the Salat, and while you put off your clothes for the noonday, rest, they take a nap, okay? And after the Isha, after Isha, now you go home in your bedroom. Children, they should not just kick the door. Our children, they don't have good manners. Why? Because we parents fail to teach them. And no, we teach the children that they should knock at the door. But the children, they're not just going to learn that on their own. The father and the mother, they should sit with them, say, son, daughter, come here. We are family, alhamdulillah. But look, you got to come to my bedroom. If the door is shut, you do not open it until you knock. Why? Because you don't want them to see you on a position that is not right. Because when you go to your bedroom, you take off your clothes. And your children cannot see you sometimes with no clothes on or have some on and some not. You're trying to change, you're trying to put something on, and here is your daughter coming, here is your son coming. No. You teach them these things. 58, Surat An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 58. قبل صلاة الفجر إذا أراد أن يدخل عليك الطفل الذي لم يبلغ الحلم وحين تضع ثيابك من الظهيرة وبعد صلاة العشاء. نعم. The children, they didn't reach the age of puberty. You got to teach them these things. Because those who reach the age of puberty, they already know, because you already taught them before they reach the age of puberty, right? But if they are not taught, now you're going to do it. But those little ones, they didn't reach the age of puberty, because they're the one usually that just kick the doors and this. Now you tell them, son, if this door is shut, you got to knock. Ask permission first. Because those ones are 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they should know by now. They should know by now that they don't just come and open the door. Hello? No? We're not playing tag here, okay? We're not playing hide and seek. I said that right? Now, this is Islam. This is etiquette. You gotta teach the children the proper etiquette. So, in three occasions, after Fajr, before Fajr, when you get up, because you get up and you have to change, and you have. And after Dhuhr and after Isha. This is times of comfort, of rest for you. Times when you change your clothing, you be in your pajamas. Because you're in your bedroom, you're not going to be in, I don't know where. You're in pajamas, and some, even when you say pajamas, some pajamas are the different types of them. So you teach your children, there is an etiquette, son. It's not like I don't want you to be in this room. No, you can't be here. But in this day, in this time, in these occasions, I want your son to ask permission. I want your daughter to knock at the door. And if you hear, come in, you can come in. If you hear, wait, wait. If you hear, come back later on, come back later on. And we be serious about this. Some children, you tell them, wait. 3 seconds later, they open the door. Why you open the door? You told me to wait. But I said, wait. But why you know me? You didn't say wait and don't open the door. Now you gotta be, how you say it? Specific. That's why I call you here, see? Now you help me. Jazakallah khair. And you help me too. You my neighbor too? Huh? Why you helping me? He's my neighbor, he's helping me. So why are you helping me? You're not my neighbor. Huh? You want to be in trouble? Jazakallah khair. I accept that from you too, okay? You can help me anytime, right? Barakallah. You're my neighbor here, see? He's close to me, alhamdulillah. Naam. This is a must. Because children, they have to learn to ask permission before they enter the room that you're in. Why? حَتَّى لَا يَرَى الْعَوْرَاتِ. So they don't see you not dressed properly. No. Likewise, you go take a shower, make sure you turn, you lock the door. If the door doesn't lock, you move to an apartment, make sure you get a little, what do they call it? What they call it, man?
A door chain?
Yes, some, not a chain. It's a
latch.
Like a latch. That has another name that is not on my mind right now. My neighbor, help. Huh? Anyway, make sure that the door is locked. All right? Why? Because you're taking a shower now, and the kid just come in, so no, you got to teach him the etiquette. All right? Teach them the etiquette, the proper etiquette, so that they can grow up knowing these things, respecting others' privacy. Okay? Islam laysa din al-fawda. There's no chaos in Islam. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I'm free. No, you're not free, brother. I mean, you're free. That's freedom. That's not the meaning of freedom. Freedom is do whatever you want to do and step the boundaries and step in the privacy of people. No. Well, learn how to behave. And by doing this, Islam has shutting the doors and cutting the paths and the ways and the threads that leads to evil. Now, anything that leads to evil, Islam cut it off. Don't get in evil now, how am I going to get out of it? No, Islam help us not to get into the evil. Now, if our youth are taught Islam, the correct Islam, they're not going to go through the hardship that other youth are going through. Because in Islam, the youth, they know that they shouldn't drink. They shouldn't do drugs. They shouldn't steal. They shouldn't do bad things. All right? Be in bad places. Be around bad people. And they protect themselves. Those who don't know, they go do drugs. They hang with the wrong people. They be in the wrong place in the wrong time. And then they get really get themselves in a bad situations. But Islam teaches good manners. فهذه الأمور ننتبه لها عندما نربي الأولاد. كذلك نفرق بينهم وبين قرناء السوء وخلطاء الفساد. وهذه مسألة مهمة. Not only that we separate our children in the bed and from the blankets, but also we make sure that they don't mix with bad companions and bad friends. You know, this is a very important point as well we have to highlight. You pay attention to your child, boy or girl, who they spend time with, who they talk to, who they taking as a friend and spending a lot of time with. This is very important for them.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, likewise, it's very important for us as parents to protect our children from bad elements, bad companions. Because our children, they don't know what's good and what's from what's bad. Even teenagers, they don't know. Many of them don't know, have no clue what it is to make a difference between a good friend and a bad friend. Most teenagers, they get themselves in a big trouble because they couldn't make the right choice. They think the man, the teenager who friend who tell them, come here, let's go there, get away from the house, don't listen to your father, don't listen to your mother, man, you're 16 now, 15, still listen to your mother? No, let's go, don't go to the house, it doesn't matter, you got 12 o'clock, midnight, it's okay, that's your home, you can, they can, see, yeah. You gotta be careful. You gotta be concerned as a father, as a parent, who your children they walk with, who they spend time with, who they play with. It's very important. If you know, do your homework. If you know that some of those children or those youth, teenagers, they have bad manners, bad etiquettes, they do evil things, you gotta tell your son or your daughter, no, I don't want you to be with those people. Not because they're white or they're black or they're Arab or non-Arab, has nothing to do with that. In Islam, we don't make difference between the people because of their colors or their race. No. Manners, piety, that's what counts. So you tell your children, son, I don't want you to play or spend time with so-and-so. Why? Because he doesn't have good manners. Look how he treats his mother. Look how he talked to his father. He disrespects his mother and father. I don't want you to be around him. He disrespects the neighbors. Wasn't he the one who was kicking the trash cans? While we were coming to school? That was him? You want to be like him? No, I don't want you to be with him. I saw him smoking. Don't be with him. I don't smoke. That's why I don't want you to be with him. Because if you keep hanging with him, you're going to end up smoking too. Because if you were to ask him how he began smoking, because he hung up with somebody else who was smoking. But his parents, they were not paying attention to that. Okay? Now we have to be concerned. Because if our children or our youth, teenagers, they spend time around evil people who have bad manners, bad etiquettes, they do evil things, our children will learn from them, will copy from them. Rather, we teach them to be careful to choose friends, to be with those who are truthful, those who are nice and kind and have good manners, those who speak the truth, don't lie. Tell them, son, if you have only one friend, but that friend respects his mother, he respects his father, respect the neighbors, respect the elders, have good manners. When they talk good to their parents, to the neighbors, to the elders. They don't get themselves in trouble. That's what I want for you. It's better to have 10 of them but they none of them is good. And even you choose, if you know some children that they good, mashallah, because their parents has invested a lot of time teaching them, because this is how it happened. The parents are doing their homework. The parents are investing time and efforts teaching their children good manners of Islam. As a father, and you as a mother as well, for the women, if you see you come to the masjid, or you went to a gathering, a sister gathering, and you see some girls that have good manners, they sit down, mashallah, they read in Quran, when they talk with respect. When they address the elders, they address Ammati, Aunt, Khalati, what can I do for you? These are the ones you want to tell your daughters to hang with and spend time with. You're not going to allow your daughter to be in a corner in a basement with some girls, 12, 13, chatting, tweeting, slash, mixing, slash, problems, trouble. No. No, you tell her, daughter, where you been? You came with me, I didn't see you for 10 minutes. Oh yeah, I was down with so-and-so in the basement. Were you cleaning, helping the sister? Oh no, no, they were tweeting. Tweeting who? I don't know, some people from Japan. Yeah, right. No, you gotta be careful. 10 minutes, that's a lot of time. A virus takes seconds to get in. 10 minutes, it's deep. You gotta be careful. Your children go here. Where you going, son? MashaAllah. But that doesn't mean you're gonna be the officer now, police. Where you going? Come over here. In a nice way. And explain to them why I don't want you to be with this person. Not because they white, they black, they Arab, they are not, they poor, they rich. None of that. They tall, they short. None of that. No, because son, I want you to be with that boy. See him? Why? Because he always, look, whenever he comes to the masjid, he pray, he respect others, he's nice to the elders, he respect the masjid, he reads Quran. Yes, he play too. He's not like that. So play with him. When he play with him. And this is how we going to protect our children. Tell them, you know why that son, that friend, I want you to play with? Because he has some signs of righteousness. He preserved the prayer. That teenager, he come to the masjid and he pray. He don't come to the masjid and hang outside calling, making noise and causing trouble. No, you see, son, I want you to be with this one, because as soon as he put his shoes on the shoe rack, if he pass by anybody, he gives salam with a smile. I've been watching him, son. I've been watching that little boy. Allahumma barik, may Allah protect him. And he passed by elders, he give him salam nicely. And he say, Ammi, anything I need to do for you? If he see someone sick, he bring him a chair. And what that boy, he comes to the sutra, pray tahiyyat al-masjid, and get the Quran and sit. He don't play in the masjid. And you know why I don't want you to be with the other person? Yes, he's a Muslim too. Alhamdulillah, I know you want to spend time with, but they don't have a good etiquette. Why? They come here and they start playing games in the front on the parking lot, causing troubles, making noise while people are reading the Quran. I don't want you to be with those, son. Okay? But if you have a teenager that is 16, 15, 17, 18, 19, that you think that they have some wisdom with them, they alhamdulillah have some knowledge, yes, they can talk to those other ones. Yes, he can go and tell them, Ya akhi, salam alaikum. I want good for you, mashallah. You are my brother in Islam. We are both of us 18. But I want you, when you come to the masjid, I want to see you more in the masjid. This is the house of Allah. I want to see you more praying. And why do you want you come to the masjid? I want to see you in the first row. Why you come and sit way in the back? Why? There is more etiquette in the first row. More reward. The first row, the people, they get a lot of reward from Allah as opposed to those who stay in the back, sit in the back. Can you imagine if somebody rich in the community have a lot of money and he wants to help the people and he says, look, every salat, whoever sits and pray in the first row, get $1,000. Huh? What do you think now? What people are going to do? You think somebody gonna come? The first nobody here is gonna sit in the back? Huh? No. Everybody gonna sit in the front. Let me tell you something. Everybody gonna try to come early because they know the value of money. But do we know the value of good deeds? Now we teach our children this. Son, when you come to the masjid, I want good for you. Come, go in the first row and sit right there. Pray tahiyat al-masjid, and that's when you want to sit. It become a habit in him. And that's how he gonna, alhamdulillah, compete. We see our youth competing for good, not competing for evil. We see our youth trying to, what happened? You're not in the first row. What happened to you? I came late, Allah musta'an. I didn't have wudu. You got me, God. I should make wudu in the house before I came to the masjid. Not just our youth sit in the back. And with my respect, we have some guests today. We have guests today. I don't want you to just look. We have guests in here. A brother who brought his two brothers who are non-Muslims. And I want you to know that you are welcome today amongst us. And they sitting over there. You're comfortable over there, okay? You're comfortable. I'm talking about the Muslim brothers. Who they, when they come, you come and sit in the front. We have our youth sometimes sit in the back and chat with the phone. And unfortunately, you find some of us grown-ups, we just pass by them. We don't even try to tell them, no, stop your chatting in the masjid. Go in front. Remember Allah. Read Quran. And our youth, they have good in them. As an example, there was three sitting in the back. We said something. Where are they at now? Oh, they are in the front. Here's one here. My neighbor here. Where's that third one? The third one, maybe he wants to make wudu. Look, akhwan. They listen. Walhamdulillah. That's all we need to do. We have to pay attention and we have to call to the good. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا